Good morning. Okay. Let's turn to our Bible. Genesis. Genesis. Yep. Chapter 1:27-33. Okay. I'm going to shorten it. I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but I want to highlight particular verses here. God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God saw, and then after a long period, scripture, they towards the end of verse 33, God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So let's bow our head and start off with a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I just go before you and ask Holy Spirit to pour out your revelations and ask that you open our heart to receive your message and be connected with you this morning, Lord. Be with us and let your word really engrave in our heart and encourage each one of us here. Thank you, God, and pray all this in Jesus' name. Okay, this scriptures is talk. This particular part of the message is actually talk about when God created man, and at the time he created male and female, and after all his work, and he look at the creation that he made, not just man. He look at all the creations that he made, and he look at it to be good. And this talk about the identity of ourselves, how God see us. And a lot of time that we are very driven by the world, how people see us, how people perceive us, how we perceive ourselves. A lot of time it could be a mismatch of what God really see us. That's one of the points that I want to address this morning. The second point also is that sometimes we look at what matters most. A lot of time we look at men's comments most, more than what God's comments. And I share with you, you know, probably a month ago or a couple months ago about this drama that we play when we are in a CJ mission trip, which called You Are Special. We actually did the same thing as well for our Japan mission trip. We actually have five sisters playing the role, you guys probably not familiar with. Actually, this drama is a YWAM drama. Actually, it's an adaptation from a book, a children illustrated book called You Are Special. And the storybook actually is different from the drama. But I can just go through a quick summary of what's the story about. Basically, it talk about in this town that where people every day they have, on one hand they have star stickers, and on the other hand they have like gray dot like as a sticker, and people would go around and give stickers to each other. Depends on how good they are. So you can imagine, you know, you're very talented. And in the drama, the adaptation of the drama, they have three different characters. They have the first one that can really dance. The second one can, like an opera singer, sing really well. And then the third one is a pianist, a crazy pianist that do amazing music pieces and all this. And when they after they perform, they will be given to have a star. And this other person, they call Miss Nobody, basically. So try to mimic whatever people do, and it was a total flop in comparison to, you know, the talents that the other people have. And so all he get is dot. And she felt rejected, alone, and all this. And then in the storybook, actually, this little boy actually meets someone who actually do not have any sticker on. And he was very curious, so and asked the girl, and how come you don't have any star nor any gray dot on it? And even people try to put the dot or star on the person, on that lady, nothing stick to that person. And so the lady basically tell her, you know, you should go and see the great carpenter, who is the one who created each one of you. So that symbolized, that story symbolized that he's going back to God, the creators. And he had meeting with the creators and the conversation going through. And during the conversations, God really tell the little boy is that, you know, I see you as good. I love you. I see you belong to me. And those comments from people would not matter. And a certain part is say that, a particular part that really strike me is that those stickers will only stick to you if you allow them to. Meaning that you are the one who put value in those star and grace dot. If you put those comments, like regard that as important to you, you're allowing those stickers stick onto you, allowing those stickers affecting your emotion, affecting your work, your ability to create, or your ability to perform. And you know, throughout, you know, the last couple weeks, this issue about insecurity really came to my mind because I meet, you know, people during the mission trip, particularly. One type of person that we visit in Japan is this group of people that call Hikikomori, and they are these people that actually, a large proportion of them in Japan, they actually hide themselves at home. Some of them can go up to more than 10 or 16 or even 20 years staying at home and not leaving the house. Some could stay in the house like not even taking a bath for 3 months. They only go out when necessary, like to the bathroom, and they have difficulty in going back into society. A lot of time, the reason that for them, the triggering factors for them to go hiding is the social pressure that they face in Japan, that is school bullying, that is this norm in Japan that, you know, if you be someone different, you be outcast. And good or bad, unless you are really crazily different, so you can dress up like, you know, a drag queen or whatever, that go to the extreme, like those parts, and people look at you and, okay, you are strange. And so they are that particular group. And you probably don't get bashed up by. But for any other people who are step out of their usual, you know, conformity, that people will come and that social pressure that is on you. And shame, like definitely shame factors, and internet definitely help them to stay in-house. They don't have to make contact unless they want to. And so they can have limited, you know, access to the outside and know what is going on outside, what the world is like, but at the same time, they withdraw from the societies. And that's the kind of like an extreme form of self-rejections, extreme form of, you know, hiding from people. And because when they come out of the house, they don't know how people see them. And we went to Tokyo University. We talked to a missionary who is doing a research paper on this particular group of people who actually started a ministry ministering to these people. And a lot of these people, believe or not, these Hikikomori people, they're actually very talented, they're very smart. And when she tried to bring them out to social gathering, other people may not think they're odd. They can put up a really good front to show, you know, this. They worry, like they can socialize and all this, and they can. They are good actor, but at the same time, when they get home, they let go of whatever that's the pretendance that they have, and they retract it into their own self, and it's kind of really sad because you definitely have gifted people. You definitely have God created people that do not see, but they're too afraid to go out to the world, too afraid and look down on them, like look down on themselves, and to a point that they cannot function properly. But if this group of people, highly talented, very smart, and is able to survive, they have the skill, but they just do not have. They do not have the. I don't know what is the missing in them is I do not have the courage maybe, or maybe do not have enough confidence or in themselves to show that they are capable or show that they are good enough before everyone. And this is like the really extreme form, but if we talk it into our daily applications, I also realize that, you know, sometimes that we also, when we do work, you know, when we do work for God, or, you know, do work in our workplace, you know, a lot of time, you know, when we look at the Bible and we say that everything we do, do it for the glory of God, or we look at the Bible and we know that we were created to enjoy our toils, that the things that were given to us, our work, our job, our family are God-given. These are at the back of our head. But at the end of the day, when we go into marketplace, go into office, this sort of thing kind of, you know, faded away. And we look at how people look at us. We want to, well, not please our boss, but at least we want compliment. We want accreditations for the work that we've done. We strive to go a higher positions, which is very normal. But at the same time, as a Christian, then we have to examine also what is the driving force behind it, what the motive is behind it. In the Bible, we say that we are in the world but not of the world, because the fundamental value as a Christian is different. We do it because it's for the glory of God, instead of do it for our own glory, or instead do it for our money. But this is the world value, you know, because the name, the frame, the money, and the positions actually identify who we are. And we're letting this thing are labeling us. But at the same time, if we look at the scripture, it's like the most important factors, the most important accreditation should be coming from God and not the world, because otherwise you are being torn between the two worlds. And so how to go between, like, you know, either way can be, you know, that it's hard to find that balance. But I just want to, you know, challenge you to examine. You know, it's okay that we do well in our work, but at the same time, do not stop, you know, when Holy Spirit come in and remind you, take that time of reflection and really asking, hey, am I striving for these particular things for my own good or for my own liking? Or am I doing it for God? And if we keep having that reminder and examinations, or even daily examination for the initial stage, because it get better, that you're actually able to discern a bit better of what you're doing, what you're striving at. From my experience, if I keep doing it, we examine myself, then I start to walk in. I realize that I is able to walk in what is described in the scriptures. A lot of time, you know, when we look at the scripture, we will probably say, "How does that work? How does that work in our own life?" And I believe, and through my own personal experience, is that through that daily examination by the Holy Spirit, through His prompting and my examinations, I start to, you know, shake my life in a way that I can see, okay, this is the motive, and this is what I should strive for. And as I continue, I realize it helps. It's possible to live in a way that is described, well, for me, not yet, but it's still possible to live in the way that is being described in the Bible. And also, the comments that people have, the effect that they have, good or bad, actually become less. The comments that how I view myself also become less, because every time I try to check, what is the Bible really telling me about myself, about the thing that we do? And as I go through those process, I realize that Bible is not a theory. It's not something that you cannot live out. But it requires work. It requires your own reflections. And I want to use a couple more examples to demonstrate how those comments that will affect how we perform. One thing that during the mission trip, we were talking to an elder in this church, and he was sharing with us a situation. And during that time, there is a missionary coming over in a almost like a Bible study, group study thing. And it's, put the context is this is in Japan. So in Japan, that you respect, you show a lot of respect. You don't say no in front of people. You don't challenge people even they are totally wrong. It's a that different that dynamics. And so the elder was talking about, you know, applying interpretation of the Bible and then applying. And it's important that we live out the faith, because work, like faith without work is dead. And so you need to live out that faith. And the missionary, without much context, you know, coming from a different background, and just say, no, you know, if the interpretation of the Bible is fundamentally wrong, even you leave out what your interpretation is still wrong. And if you look at that particular comment, it's correct. You know, if you interpret the Bible wrongly, you leave out wrongly, so you have to go back to the root. But the fact that there's a lady missionary putting forward a comment in a public setting where the elder is teaching, that no become a no-no, is like considered as rude. And people in the group will not do that, and people will not respect that missionary for that particular comment in that particular context. And that, I understand, that is the culture. But sometimes culture actually, when I look at this particular example, is like culture definitely affects the operations. Even if it's totally wrong, you cannot say it in front of people. So I guess you can correct that behind the back, and then when I look at it, so what give the group take that, you know, without that extra revelations, and I was like, this is kind of crippling. It's like you can't even make comments like that. And but at the same time, as a missionary, you need to respect what's the social framework in that. And the fact that you're making a comment to the elder, and the elder subsequently, that's not the main part, but subsequently the elder say that your comment did not affect me, but it will affect how people see you. And because how people see you, people will not listen to you anymore because of your particular behavior. So I think on one hand, yes, you know, this is the kind of like crippling effect of how people look when you are stepping out of line, when you are doing not is not in the conform, or is not the normal norm, and they put sticker on you, and from that anything you say will not have that credibility. That is so sad. If they can look at, you know, this is the truth, and they look at the truth, they grab hold of it. The other part of the comment on this particular elder is that your comment did not affect me. I think that is also important too, because when we growing up in our faith, there's a lot of things that we would have mistake. There are things that we would have totally missed the mark, and we need those comments. We need those advice to us, and if we stick onto our own insecurity, we do not know who we are, and when those comments come in, I will take it as people look down on me, instead of looking at, oh, you have a point. So, you know, so when I look at situations like that, it's like, sometimes we take people's comment too much that we forgot about what is most important. What's the most important is if I am a pastor or, you know, a leadership or in a teaching positions, then really it's not how people look at me, look at me, but really is, do I have the guts to share what is written in the Bible? But also at the same time, also, it's like, do I have the, what do you call that? You know, that not, it's not grace, like I have that, like the ability to embrace of what people make to comment make to me, and do not take that as personal. Because if I start taking it as personal, then I will go down in a spiral and see, oh, people see me that way, and they no longer respect me, and I cannot do anything anymore, and go down to that drink. So I look at it and it's like, we have to say no when those attacks come in and say that you're not good enough and all this, and that we need to look in the Bible. But at the same time, we also need to look at whether the validity of those comments, are they have a grain of truth in it? If the truth in it, we can work on it. Because God created us and he sees us good. And it's a continual process. It's not that one point, like a, you know, as a baby growing into an adult, there is this growing process. Even as a Christian, no matter how old are you, you're in your 30s or 40s, or even older, you have experience, you build up your reputation. Sometimes that makes it so much harder to receive comments because of the face issues. I cannot lose face. That's the Asian culture. But then when you look at it, if I cannot lose face, is that bigger than the benefit of the people that you are ministering to? So if I have that particular comment, I think we need to look at, you know, God's bigger plan for these, the people that you are serving. Or the great God's great plan that, you know, even, you know, someone commented, yes, something bad about what I'm preaching for, excuse me, like say something that I preached today, and they point out in whatever way they have a truth in it. And we look at whether that particular comment is going to help this community. If it's going to help the community, I personally, I think I will allow it to happen. But of course, at the same time, we need to look at also the, if the person does not have a point, then no, then we have to review it. And so it's so important to know who we are, so that whatever that, you know, we are called to say, we are, have the boldness to say, but also having also the at the same time, because we're living in the world, we also aware how the world operates, so that we kind of play by the rule, but at the same time we have the courage and have the ability to embrace other comment, good or bad, and but yet not losing ourselves in it and striving for something that we do not need to or we have to. And also the other thing is that is how much we value how God views us. Because a lot of time we spend most of the day, you know, 24 hours, 8 hours sleeping, probably some of us less than that. But a lot of time we deal with people and people and people, and those comments are going to get to you. And those comments become more important than God's comments, like his, how God sees you. And that makes sense, because you meet more people than you meet God. So the key really is that you need to connect to God more, so that, you know, what is the truth really stick with you. And many times, you know, I mentioned it, Pastor Sam, other people mentioned it, is this book called, you know, by Brother Lawrence, forgot the name, something Presence. Anyway, so talk about, you know, even in your work, he's this guy working in the kitchen, he's a monk living in the kitchen, and he's like, how can I connect with God? And he's like, even I'm cooking, I'm doing in the glory of God. Even I am doing things that I actually connect with God. 24/7. But this is something that you need to practice, like take step to practice in. And I remember Pastor Min Chang, when he was here, he's talking about relationship, talking about having baby. He even say that, you know, how many children I going to have. I don't benchmark in whether I want children or not, but it's benchmark in how much glory, how the maximum glory that I can bring to God's kingdoms. So if I have too many children, these children may not be, you know, turn out the way that God will be glorified. Too little is, so he was using like God's glory as a benchmark. And I found that it's so interesting that actually the scripture can apply in our everyday life, but you need to apply into it. Otherwise, the Bible is just a Bible that you read. It have no relevance in you. And so this morning, I want to ask to go back, really spend a bit of time, examine your, you know, even your response to people's comments, you know, in work, or in others. I just ask Holy Spirit to really, really shine upon you. You know, things that you put people before God. That you think yourself less than what God really think of you. And again, I want to highlight that particular part. Those stickers, that's those labels, will only stick to you if you allow to. Brothers and sisters, you have the ability to say no to those. People can give you, you know, accreditation, people can badmouth you, depending on, like, you know, all sort of things. But the effect of it, those exceeds. I'm not saying that those doesn't exceed. The stars and the great dot exceeds. But whether those star or great dot can stick onto you, it's because you allow them to. How much the degree is going to affect you is only to the degree you allow to. And you can say no. You can say no to that. Even, you know, it's a good comment, it's accreditation, and it's a good thing. You can also say no because you see a bigger glory. You see that the praise from God is even higher. It makes sense though, isn't it? Because God created us. And He is the creator, ultimate creator. He's the biggest. Would you not rather to have His praise than a human praise? But a lot of time we lost sight of that. And we, because every day we live in a community, live in the society, these are people. And so those praises, those curses, those things that people say matter even more. And so, God, I just ask that as my brother and sister are spending time, as Jeff is like at the background leading us into a reflection time, God, show them who you really are.
Use it for your glory, Lord, I offer. days to you, lifting my praise to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life.
Dear Lord Jesus, you know, in the past week, you showed me how insecurity can cripple people in terms of them serving you in their full potential. In the past week, you also showed me how false pride come in and cause, you know, disunity and divisions. Father, that this is not something that you want us to live in. You want us to live in full joy, the joy of knowing you and joy of knowing who we are. You tell us in the Bible that we are apples in your eyes, and I really live on my brother and sister here, that they do see themselves as the apple in your eyes, Lord. God, we are a work in progress. We have many things that we still need to put down our old self and wear the new self that you have created us, so that we can come before you without any blemish on that day that we come to meet you. This process is not easy, Lord, but I do ask that you help us, Lord. Help us to stay close to you, to keep our eyes on you, so that, you know, those stickers from people doesn't really that matter, because what matters is how you see us, Lord. So that we can really truly live out that full potential and that abundance that you have promised, that you've given us. God, be with us, Lord. And also, Lord, give us a huge amount of love to love people who are going through this process of growing up to become more like you. Okay, let's turn to our prayer for community. Let's continue to pray for those people who are suffering from cancer or those who are recovering cancer. So let's lift these people up in our prayers, Lord. Jeff and Anella aunt Devon, she actually passed away last night, so let's pray for the family. You know, during this time we pray and other people pray, people might get discouraged. Let's lift them up in prayer. And also, it's a period of grieving time for the family and all the, you know, funeral logistics and everything. So let's lift up Jeff and Janella's family, you know, most impacted as well. So let's pray for them. Let's pray for those who are suffering from various infirmity and illness, and also pray for their salvations, so that, you know, they truly experience God even in their suffering, and we pray for continue pressing for praying for healing for them. Thank you. also let's continue to lift up our brothers and sisters who are seeking employment, who are going through the various interviews. Just continue to pray that during this time they can stand firm and just continue to bless them and their family. Let's turn to today's mission focus. Friday is always a day for local ministry. Pray for the local churches. Also, YWAM, you know, the different ministry that is listed on the web on the page. Let's pray. Continue to pray for this ministry that, you know, glory of God really manifests in that ministry. Let's pray for the SP worship, AV and welcoming, hospitality and barista. They are the ministry that's funding, like, you know, working most hard, you know, on a Sunday. So pray for them. Going on this Sunday, this weekend, today, that there's River tonight, the Red Light District Outreach is tonight, and also the IP team is going on a retreat also tonight and also Saturday. Just really pray for the IP team. They are the one who faithfully pray for the church and you guys every day, every Friday, and really pray that God really, you know, refresh them and replenish them and really have, you know, continue to download and strengthen this group. And so let's keep this ministry in prayer. For the River, Hansu is leading, so also pray for God's anointing over him too. Also pray for this Sunday, Pastor Sam, Pastor Nay, and Pastor Eugene, Pastor Carol, all off this week. So yes, it's just me, Bonnie, and Kenny that on the staff. So pray for us for the Sunday service that will be communion. Also, I'm preaching as well. So pray for God's anointing for everyone goes really smoothly for this Sunday, and people are blessed by the Sunday service. So let's pray for Pastor Sam. He's leaving today to Korea to lead a retreat in Korea for this church, Salang or whatever Korean church. Just pray for him for journey mercy, and pray for God's outpouring of spirit over him and people be blessed by him. The retreat is coming up. There's a lot of preparation work that needs to be done. So pray, let's just leave up the staff and also for people's hearts for their readiness to join the retreat and have a wonderful encounter for during that time as well. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to us and save us, Lord, so that we can have a life that we're living for, a life that is abundant, Lord. I know that the enemies come steal, kill, and destroy and try to take away whatever good work that you've done in us. And I just ask, God, that your protections help us to stay away from the evil one. Help us to stay strong and stand firm, you know, despite different onslaught of attacks of the enemy from various forms. May it be, you know, what people, like things say, people say, and all this that we talk about this morning, Lord. I really lift up my brothers and sisters and ask that let them be the salt and light, an effective salt and light that really reflect the maximum glory that is through their life for you. And empower my brother and sister here, refresh them, and I really pray that they continue to have that wonderful fellowship with you throughout the whole day, Lord. Thank you, God, and pray all this in Jesus' name. So do spend some time and really soak in God's word and in his presence.